Good morning. Welcome back to Rosie on the House. We're going to change gears a little bit. You can always kind of catch a clue by the music Gary chooses, but we're going to change to a safety topic this morning. We have a hashtag every month, every week actually, in our calendars. And if you haven't signed up for our calendar yet, you can email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com. We'll send you a free calendar every year. And this week's hashtag is on fire safety. We thought it was kind of timely with the holidays coming up, and it is a big issue. This is a pretty busy time of year for house fires.
Not that we've had any Cajun cousins burn down their backyard cooking sheds trying to deep fry a turkey or anything.
No, none. So we invited retired battalion chief Tom Lewis. He was chief in Green Valley for 22 years and just recently retired. He was also the public information officer, so he loves educating people about fire and being safe. Are you there, Tom?
I am. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can.
Perfect.
You sound good and clear. So is right it beautiful
on.
In Green Valley this morning?
So I live in Tucson, and
oh, you do
it
now.
Is
okay.
Beautiful here. Yes,
yeah.
I've actually lived in Tucson for, since I was 6 years old, and so I made the commute down to Green Valley for 22 years.
Oh.
Wow. Well, you helped us create our blog, our hashtag article for the week, and just shared a lot of good information. I think a good place to always start is preventing it, right? How do you prevent
a lot of this is common sense, but if common sense were so common, we wouldn't probably be having this discussion today. So it's always nice to have some friendly reminders. We don't change our times with the daylight savings, but that's always the time of year to kind of check your smoke detector batteries and change them annually around this time of year. So that's a good segue into just generally preventing cooking fires. And one of the key things is just think about what you're doing while you're in the kitchen, and look around, see who your guests are. If you're having any young children visit, turn those handles in, and just have some key supervision. You know, it's kind of, especially when family's coming, think of it like if everybody's out by a swimming pool. You know, it's always nice to have one adult that's just kind of in charge of keeping things, you know, in line and keeping an eye on things. And usually that's the person in the kitchen cooking, kind of the chef in the kitchen. Usually it's, you know, it's mom or dad that's in charge of get the turkey and things on the stove. And just by doing that, I think is a good step. It's what we call kind of in the business of situational awareness, is just being aware of what's going around you. And even though it's a relatively small environment, the kitchen for sure, being able to be alert and stay vigilant, because unattended cooking fires are one of the number one cause of injuries in the home.
Wow. And it, you know, some types of cooking, I'm sorry, some types of cooking are more dangerous than others, of course. You can leave something you're baking, but if you're going to grill or fry or broil or even boil something, you just have to relegate yourself to the kitchen. You have to stay.
Right? You do. And you know, there's a lot of distractions in the holiday season, but just stay focused on what you're doing. And, you know, we joke about it, cooking under the influence. So limit your alcohol consumption too. Be wise about how much you're drinking. And, you know, it's very much common to be, you know, have some wine or some beer while you're cooking and things. But keep it to where it doesn't decrease your ability to be alert and catch things if something goes awry.
Yeah, we need a new sign like "Don't drink and cook" or something. Don't drink and
drive. Designated cook.
There you go.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I think it's unrealistic to say, "Oh, don't have anything in the kitchen. You know, don't drink while you're cooking," and things like that. But again, it's keeping that awareness strong enough that you can, if something untoward happens or a fire starts, that you can handle it quickly without any kind of impairment. And that's just, again, a smart approach to cooking in the kitchen. And again, Thanksgiving Day is the number one day for cooking fires, cooking and kitchen fires, followed by Christmas. And then number three, not too far behind, is Christmas Eve. So we're coming up on, you know, peak season for kitchen fires, and they're highly preventable. And thankfully, when you're doing this, most people are awake, not sleeping, so you're not waiting for the fire to go and then sound off the smoke detectors and get you out of the house safely. But it's important to know that if a fire occurs, don't be a hero, all right? If it's something really small and you can put the lid on whatever's burning, you know, certainly do so, but don't forget to turn off the burner and let it cool down. Don't take the lid off until everything is cooled down because it can reignite. If you have baking powder, that certainly is acceptable. Then you have those little smaller kitchen extinguishers that many people keep under the sink. There's one that comes in just a simple can that's actually, from my understanding, is quite effective. I think they're called Tundra. And I happen to have one of those underneath my sink. And it's just one that you don't have to worry about the pressure leaking or having to recharge your extinguishers or replace them. And it's just, you know, kind of a little bit of peace of mind. But
do they expire ever, Tom?
You know, I know extinguishers need to be, many extinguishers, standard, the classic dry chemical red extinguishers do have some expiration dates if they're not rechargeable. But mm-hmm. I think if there is an expiration date on those Tundras that you'll see at Home Depot and some of the other hardware stores, I believe there may be an expiration date, but it's many years out there.
Well, here's the point, really, that we'd like people to take away today is, you, to quote you, you said, make sure someone is in good enough state of mind to monitor the situation and be prepared if a fire breaks out, to break out quickly. But putting it out, this is what I want to talk about. That takes preparation to be able to put it out quickly. You've got to have the right tools and the right mindset. So you've got the traditional red spray cans, but there's certain varieties of those you don't want to use in a kitchen either, right?
So the key to look for when for an extinguisher that's going to be effective in almost any environment that you're going to encounter in the home is what we call at least an AB extinguisher, preferably an ABC extinguisher. So to break it down, if an extinguisher is rated for A, it can handle normal solid combustibles. If it's rated B, it can handle flammable liquids or greases that will liquefy upon getting hot, okay, lower melting points. And then a Class C extinguisher rating means that it is safe. It is a non-conducting agent, which means it's safe to use on energized electrical equipment, say like a microwave or a stove that might be plugged in. So your smart bet is to find something that is rated ABC. And keep in mind, too, that used one, many fire departments offer, I know ours did down in Green Valley, fire extinguisher classes, because if you get one that's kind of bigger, you'd be surprised how heavy they are. They're heavy they can be, and then when you go to grab it, if you've never practiced with it, you can be a little uncoordinated with it. So, and the nice thing is you don't have to bring your own extinguishers, because we provide them, or at least I should say departments provide them, so you can practice, and it's actually kind of fun. And a lot of departments, they may have some digital ones, but the fun ones are where you've got an extinguisher trailer where it's filled with water and then connected to propane, and we actually reignite it with a flare, so you can actually pretend putting out a small actual fire and get a real feel for how an extinguisher will perform. So practicing, knowing the type that you're going to get, and the good thing is almost all of them are going to be rated A, B, and C for what you're going to have for a typical home extinguisher. And to go back to what we were talking about earlier, those Tundras that I talked about, I grabbed mine from underneath the sink, and indeed, it does have an expiration date. The best performance by 2023, and I bought this about 2 years ago. Okay. So it's many years. And so those, keep an eye on that, and you'll want to replace them once it gets past the date, because, again, like most of us, the need to use it, and then when you do, you want to be ready for it.
And I think fire extinguishers should come priced two for one. And one should be a demo practice model. Because the first time you're trying to put a fire out and you're trying to figure out what tab to pull, what key to ring, what trigger to pull, you're in panic mode. And then once the product starts leaving the can, you're invariably very surprised at how it's
pushing
everywhere and splattering everywhere. But so your concept of practicing once or twice, I think, is invaluable.
Yeah, and take advantage. See if your local fire department offers something that would allow you to practice that wouldn't cost you anything. I know a lot of times, like at nursing homes and assisted livings, they kind of have mandatory training, but a lot of things during Fire Prevention Week back in October, a lot of organizations offer this kind of training. And if nothing else, just go through the motions with the one that you do have so you can feel for the weight. You know, the mnemonic that we use is pass, pull, aim, squeeze, and sweep. And, you know, just simulate the motion, and that'll be create a little bit of muscle memory so that if in the event that you ever have to do it, you know, it won't be the first time, you know, because you're always going to be better with it if you've got a chance to practice. And again, we can get into the minutia of practicing and, you know, the size of extinguisher and how much it's going to put out and things like that. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to don't be a hero. If it's not looking right, just get yourself and everybody out, call 911, and let the professionals come in and take care of business.
Tom, how much do you think oil contributes to the fires? I mean, you gave a tip to us about the vegetable oil itself is not flammable and just what to watch for.
Well, it is flammable. What happens is it has a relatively high flash point, which means it has to get pretty hot, 600, 700 degrees for it to actually ignite. But the vapors coming off of it, and that's like any fire, even solids. It's not the solid that's burning. It's the chemicals, the atoms that are essentially outgassing. It's called pyrolysis that's actually burning and continuing to feed the fire. So certainly that's probably the most combustible substance in the kitchen that when you're cooking. So extra care should be taken with any kind of cooking fluid, such as oils of any kind. And then keep in mind, too, applying water is the biggest no-no that you can do. And it's not because water contains oxygen. It's because water is going to agitate the substance that is burning. And so when we talk fire, it takes three things, right, in a simplistic, you know, sense. You have fuel, the oil. You have oxygen around it. And you have the heat. And so what water does is it allows more of that oxygen around it to be in contact with the particleized oils that are agitated and stirred up into droplets when you apply water. That's why you see those videos online of people applying water to a grease fire. It gets bigger because the heat's there, the fuel's there, but now you're exposing more of that fuel to oxygen, you know, in droplets, in splash form, and that's why those flames surge up. Now, enough water is going to douse it. I mean, but...
But that's why you come with a 2-inch diameter, 3-inch diameter fire hose.
That's right.
That's your job.
That's exactly right.
You've got to beat the gut reaction of throwing water on kitchen fires. That's the wrong thing to do.
Wrong thing to do. Yep, it sure is.
Thank you, Tom. That was great information. We'll help keep our Arizona homeowners safe in their own kitchens this year.
Well, thank you for having me. I was honored to be on with you today, and I wish everybody a happy and safe Thanksgiving and upcoming Christmas and holiday season, and I wish all of you at Rosie on the House the best.